dog here.
My name is Alice.
It was Tuesday.
And I like my Captain Kirk jokes.
Too bad. You die.
You said it.
At your service, ma'am.
Ouch. I could use pants.
I thought you were dead, you asshole.
Hello, and welcome to Reset and Rewind, the video game movie podcast, where we chronologically discuss every video game movie ever. I'm Doug, and think about that annoying racist kid who constantly made dick and shit jokes, who sat at your 7th grade lunch table, and just imagine that kid made a movie when he was still in 7th grade. I'm here with Kevin.
Hello.
And Paul.
Hey there.
So, unfortunately, we watched Postal from 2007.
It sure was 2007.
Boy, oh boy.
Boy.
That was a time. 2007, there was a time of a lot of wacky movies then, and this was probably the bottom of the barrel.
The Bush era coming to an end almost.
Mm-hmm. Is this the same time period as Team America?
Maybe a few years.
2006 or something.
Team America was 2004.
Yeah, I was still in high school when it came out.
Yeah.
I knew I was in high school. I just wasn't sure when I was in high school.
Also, despite South Park being offensive, it was funny, right? This is just fucking stupid and offensive and not funny.
Right.
Like, South Park I can give, like, oh, your jokes were actually pretty good. This, zero. 0 out of 10 in terms of joke landings. None of it was funny.
Yeah.
How many times did you guys laugh?
None. Absolutely none.
Zero laughs. There was not one snicker or smile on my face from this movie. There was not one clever joke.
No.
The jokes didn't even make sense. Ugh, they were awful. It was like it was written by a child.
Yeah, they were all offensive in some way, which I gotta give some credit to Bull because he chose I don't give any credit to him, actually, Uwe Boll, who's the one who directed and probably wrote this awful movie.
Uwe Boll is shit.
Like, if he was forced to write a movie for this game, I mean, the game was awful. He was digging from some shit source material. So, but I know he wasn't forced to make this movie. He chose to make Postal. And why you would choose Postal to make a movie out of, I have no fucking idea. It is literally one of the most dog shit games that is out there. It's a meme. And that's the only reason people remember this stupid game.
I've never even heard of it. Until talking about this episode and talking about this movie, I had never heard of Postal.
I knew about it. I knew it was like they would make you do ridiculous things. And there's like pacifist runs where you don't have to hurt anybody. And like that's the goal of the game is to do like a pacifist run. But it is the game makes it so annoying for you to have to do anything. Like you'll have to wait in line for someone to sit there and count pennies. And it's just super annoying so it makes you want to use a gun and go postal. That's like the whole concept of the game is to annoy the shit out of you so that you break the rules and start killing a bunch of people.
And that's fun? Aren't video games supposed to be fun?
It's in the same kind of vein as that Michael Douglas movie back in the 90s, Falling Down, right? It's in the same sort of vein as that, like, it's a criticism on a bunch of societal things that when put together add up to like a huge explosion by a guy who is just trying to get by.
Right.
But the problem is that like, you know, whereas Falling Down was an actual like obscene and upsetting criticism of society, this is just more like it has no ground to stand on. It just does things. It goes too far and offers absolutely nothing in return. Doesn't give you any sort of catharsis or better understanding of the world. It just is there to destroy and that's it, which sucks.
Yeah, this movie is considered a satirical comedy, which would be, you know, using comedy to criticize politics or general human behavior and to make fun of it and point out people's stupidity and how ridiculous some people's ideas and beliefs are.
Right.
For example, Blazing Saddles is a great satirical comedy. Yeah. It's a satire on both racism and just how inaccurate and unrealistic right. Westerns on TV and films were at the time, and mostly with how black people were treated as they were pretty much absent from those old Westerns, like Bonanza or Gunsmoke. There were so many of those Westerns. Woody's Roundup, I don't fucking know. So, yeah, so Blazing Saddles, you got a character, Bart, who's played by Cleavon Little. In the movie, he's appointed as the sheriff. You guys have both seen Blazing Saddles,
oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the main character, Bart, black guy, he's appointed as the sheriff. And the way the townsfolk treat him is horrible. But the reason it's funny is because of Bart's, like, nonchalant attitude and the fact that the townsfolk are portrayed as being, like, the stupidest people on Earth.
Yeah.
So it's as if they don't know any better. So as the audience, we're making fun of the townsfolk and their stupidity. And later on in the film, they start to respect Bart as they find out he's an effective sheriff. And they realize that just because he's black doesn't mean he's a bad person. We shouldn't hate him. So those townspeople grow as a whole. And Uwe Boll just makes mean jokes about people for the sake of being offensive. He just does things so some dumb 14-year-old watching can say, "Can you believe he said that? That's so offensive."
Yeah, that's mostly what this whole movie was about. I will say, at one point in the movie, I did find, I won't say funny, but relatable, was when he was in the interview. Even though it was way over the top and ridiculous, he was being interviewed and they were just asking him like the most ridiculous, stupid questions that had nothing to do with the job. I have been in an interview where they ask the most ridiculous, stupid questions like, if your house was on fire, what would you save out of your house? I'm just like, why? Why would you ask that stupid, silly question? So during that part in the movie, I will say, that was the one part I will say was relatable, but it was so over the top and stupid that it didn't even like hit home. It wasn't funny.
Yeah, there was like a woman is asking him wrong. She kept saying wrong to everything, and right. It was just it went. They repeated the same joke. She said wrong like 20 times, and it just wasn't funny. Like there was nothing clever. And then there's like heads on the wall. And they're bleeding, but they look like mannequin heads. They don't look like real heads at all, so I don't know what the joke was there.
Yeah, it was like, oh, he had to kill these people to get to his job position or something.
They didn't look real like real heads at all, so it's fucking stupid.
Yeah, it was very stupid.
Yeah, I don't know. The movie was bad just all around, and the game itself is equally upsetting. But we should talk about the game before we dive even further into the movie.
Yeah, so when did the game come out?
So it's based on two games, really, Postal 1 and Postal 2. Postal 1 came out, if I am remembering this correctly, it came out September of 1997. Yep.
10-year anniversary.
Oh. So exciting. And Postal 2 came out April of 2003. This movie is mostly based on Postal 2.
Which makes sense.
Yeah. The plot of Postal 2 is, takes on the role of the postal dude who is very thin and red hair. And he just lives in a trailer with a really, really, really nagging wife who they identify as the bitch at the end of it.
She's fat. That's the joke. Is that hilarious?
Is she fat in Postal?
I don't remember if she's fat or not. I'm going to be completely honest with both of you. I have never played either of the Postal games.
I haven't either. I like I said, they were a meme, so you would have had to like have played them during that time to find any enjoyment. It isn't one of those games like you go, oh, wow, I got to revisit that game, play it. No, it wasn't like a timeless game. It was a piece of shit.
It was a game that was based, that was like famous because it was doing like a couple things unique. Yeah, like it was violent and different, and like it was also based on a simulation of like a living world of a town, and all of these characters were kind of just living out their lives and you were in the middle of it kind of blowing shit up. It's interesting. It's also a batshit crazy game. I mean, I haven't played it. I've talked with people who have played it. I've watched some videos of videos. Yeah, people playing it. And it just looks chaotic. And in that way, this movie is a really great interpretation of that game. Because this movie is equally batshit insane and just chaotic all the time.
Right. The source material doesn't make sense to make a movie out of it, which is what I was saying before.
Yeah.
But when I was watching Postal 2, the guy was just going around collecting signatures for a petition. Like, that's one of the things that you do in the game. Or you can just kill everybody and go straight to the end and skip a bunch of pieces. Or you have to physically go up to a bunch of people, I think it's like 10 people, and get them to sign the petition. And they won't always sign the petition. They won't just sign it right away. Sometimes they'll be assholes, so you have to ask them multiple times. And then you got to go and wait in line and get an autograph from someone. You got to return a book. You got to do a bunch of stupid, mundane tasks. And it's just like, but on the way, you're picking up guns. There's weird things going on with different protesting groups who just start going batshit insane, start shooting at you. So you feel like you need to shoot back. But if you shoot back, then this main idea of the game where you take the pacifist route, you fail the pacifist route. So that's the whole concept of the game, is you're supposed to not get pissed off and not go postal.
It sounds like poor man's GTA.
Totally. It's a great way of describing it. I think it's a poor man's GTA with like a very weirdly like a open world concept built into it. Even more of an open world concept built into it.
And GTA came out earlier. So GTA 1 I think came out in 1995. So despite how groundbreaking people thought this game might have been at the time, it wasn't. There was already super violent games. And in fact, when I was watching Postal 2, all I could think of was like Duke Nukem.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the guy, when he talked, he had the low voice and just sounded like very similar to Duke Nukem or the Doom guy. And that's all I got out of it. So this game was not groundbreaking, and why anyone would decide to make a movie out of it is just bonkers. But that's Uwe Boll. He just makes movies out of wacky things. Blood Rain? What? I don't understand. I mean, I guess it's not as out of left field like Wing Commander was, but still.
But at least that had like a following, like a somewhat of a small cult following. Like what kind of following does Postal have?
It has a pretty decent following, actually.
It's with probably with incels.
I mean, yeah, that's a large majority of them. But like, you know, looking through a lot of the reviews of Postal, the game, right? The reviews of Postal are actually also mixed, right? Game Revolution gave it a B-. GameSpot gave it 6 out of 10. Next Generation Gaming gave it 4 out of 5 stars. Whoa. Computer Gaming Magazine, 1.5 stars. Games Domain gave it a general review of mixed. Like, Metacritic also has it as generally mixed. This game came out, and despite it being, like, loved by some, it was equally hated by others, and so, you know, it's a weird game to try to adapt into a film because there's not a lot of people who love this game enough to go see it in the movie theaters. And there equally aren't enough people who hate this game so much to cause a stir to boycott it and also promote it in the same way. So it's just like a very stupid thing to adapt, which translates into the box office of the film making just complete horseshit amount of money.
I'm trying to think back to the Uwe Boll movies that we already talked about. Were any of them, like, good games? I don't think so, right?
House of the Dead was okay.
Yeah, it's a classic for sure, but it's not, like, I don't think it's a highly reviewed game. I don't think there's any highly reviewed games. What were the ones we talked about? We talked about Blood Rain, Alone in the Dark, which, maybe.
Did that predate Resident Evil? I think it did, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was the first survival horror. I think that's what we mentioned. Then we got House of the Dead, which is mixed reviews. What was there another one, or was that the only three we talked about, Uwe Boll?
In the Name of the King actually is based off of Dungeon Siege, and that is supposed to be very, very good. I haven't played Dungeon Siege in a long time, but...
I never understood why that got such good reviews. I did play that game, and I was just like, I don't understand it. It's not very good. But a lot of people did like that one. So maybe he was like, maybe I'll make a game out of, or I'll make a movie out of something that actually got good reviews, and it'll, and tons of people will like it. That's another like weird movie or weird game to make a movie out of. Just stupid. I feel like Uwe Boll chose these things just because the licensing was super cheap.
I mean, he might have. I don't doubt it. It's a weird game to even choose. I think I'm trying to think of it in context of what came out. Like, Quentin Tarantino was big in the 90s, and he really came up. So there's, like, I think a little bit of that, like, punky Quentin Tarantino-y vibe into this movie. But also, at the same time, it's so low budget, so poorly shot, so, like, poorly acted and batshit crazy that it doesn't feel like a Quentin Tarantino mania revenge porn sort of movie. It feels just sloppy instead.
Right. A lot of people say that Uwe Boll is the poor man's Quentin Tarantino.
Speaking of Quentin Tarantino, there's a scene, one of the first scene in the movie where there's two Middle Eastern Muslim men in a cockpit. You know where this is going.
Yeah.
But they have a conversation about the virgins they're going to get in the afterlife. They have this conversation that you'd hear in like a Kevin Smith or Quentin Tarantino movie, but in those movies, they're either interesting or funny, and in this movie, it's not. It's just mocking a religion.
Yeah, he's just not clever in the way that he says things in his movies. The way that he obviously writes the dialogue is just not clever at all. So it's so on the nose that you can just see that he's trying to be racist or... what's sectist, I guess. I don't know what the against religions is, but
discriminatory, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of prejudice all around. Yeah. I'm not entirely sure if it's, I think it is racist in a lot of places, but I also just think there's a ton of prejudice throughout this movie towards things that don't necessarily deserve that prejudice. Obviously, but like from a overview of it, there's a real, like, shitting on poor people sort of perspective in this movie that is just disgusting. There's all of this with, you know, xenophobia and Arab American, like, perspectives that is just complete trash. But there's also just this weird kind of misogyny that's built into this with the compound and, you know... Some of it could have been done tastefully or actually in service of providing parody or satire, but Uwe Boll is as skilled as a baby is. Like, he has no idea what the hell to do with the content that he's given, so he just makes a complete fucking mess. It's trash.
Yeah. So I guess let's talk through the movie. Unless you guys have more to say about the game that none of us played.
I mean, no, I don't have much to say about the game. Other than, I do know that as it was being developed, I think mostly it was lacking from a lot of its initial needs that it needed to have. So it was like kind of remade on the Unreal 4 engine. I think it was back in like 2014. I don't necessarily know if it was good at all then. I mean, I have not played any of the Postal Redux. I don't even know if it came out. It probably did, but it sounds to me like they actually did release the game, and I'd be interested to hear anybody who's played it and what they think of it, because to me, I think this was probably a trash game, and I don't know how the hell you would remake it and make it better, but yeah.
Whoever's a fan of this game probably imitated the game in real life.
I hope not.
Or tried to. I really hope not. It's terrible. Yeah, like you mentioned, throughout the movie, the way I saw this movie is that Uwe Boll Weeble, or however you say his stupid name.
I think it's Uva.
Uva? Uva? Like
I think so. I've been calling him Uva. I think it's Uva.
Like a grape in Spanish? Uva? No, he is in the movie. Is he in any of the other movies?
I don't think so.
So I think the reason why he inserts himself into this movie is because the ideas that he has throughout the entire movie are actually his political beliefs. I really think so.
Yeah, exactly.
I really think he's probably a little bit xenophobic. And so he...
Very sexist.
Very, very sexist. Fat shaming.
Yeah.
And then, well, I guess anybody's against cults, but that cult was very misogynistic. And, like, all the women were very brainwashed into just, like, having sex with the cult leader.
Yeah, and they were, like, these second-rate porn star actresses.
Right.
Like, that's how Uwe Boll views women. They're all, like, these bimbo stereotypes.
Well, I mean, look at who he cast in Alone in the Dark. The biggest bimbo of them all.
Exactly. And the other movie, House of the Dead, same thing. Just like all these really dumb female characters.
Liberty was great.
Liberty was really fun. I liked Liberty.
That's funny. Yeah, I liked Liberty as well. She was good. So that's like the one kind of funny part of that entire movie. I thought House of the Dead was probably his better movie.
Yeah, I actually enjoyed that one. That was probably one of his only films I actually somewhat enjoyed.
Yeah, but this movie starts off, like you said, with the 99 Virgins bullshit that was going on. And I'm just like, what am I watching here? What is this bullshit? Just this, like, the one thing that anybody who isn't Muslim knows about the religion is the 99 virgins thing. And they got to sit there and play up this joke for... It's fine if they did it for, like, a minute or something like that.
It goes on for way too long. It's,
like, 5 minutes of the same fucking joke.
Yeah. He's trying to do, like, a long conversation, like I said, like a Kevin Smith or Quentin Tarantino, but it just falls flat because it's just like, all right, guys, get on with it. It's not funny.
Yeah.
We just get to the joke where you crash the plane into the Twin Towers. We know it's coming. Right,
and then it's like he was showing, oh, they were actually not going to drive into the Twin Towers, and the people caused them to drive into the Twin Towers and all that, and it's just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, because I think the characters were like, let's just go to the Bahamas.
Right.
And then, yeah.
That's exactly what they say, and then the people break in, and then they freak out, and they drive right into the Twin Towers, which is just like, seriously, what? What is
Are you guys offended yet?
Yeah.
Are you offended?
It was like he was just trying to be super duper duper offensive in that entire joke. And that's... It's hard to be a comedian and not be offensive.
Yeah.
But there's a line that you can walk, and then that's the funny line. But once you pass that line, it's just like, come on.
Yeah, I mean...
And that's what happened with this movie.
You can say whatever the hell you want. You just have to know that whatever you say, people might not like, and people might say, I hate that, and I don't want to see your shit. I thought the opening of this movie, I thought there was going to be a point, like a fun satirical thing, or some sort of jab that was going to meant to, like, inspire some sort of critical thought on this movie. Instead, what it was arguing over virgins, and, like, obviously, like, sex, and then it devolves into, like, he calls Osama bin Laden up and verifies how many virgins, and like it's the stock market, it suddenly starts declining like horse shit. And also, at the same time in this, when they crash the plane, I'm meant to think, like, oh, is this supposed to be... What's sort of funny about it? There's nothing... Nothing lands. There's nothing fun. Like, what sort of satire is supposed to be here? And, like...
Well,
before this movie premiered, Uwe Boll said something along the lines about Eli Roth and Michael Bay being just, like, completely, like, the worst part of Hollywood. And I thought about that as I was watching this movie because, you know, Michael Bay often gets shit on as, like, a terrible director and stuff like that, or just has so many explosions. But I can think of multiple Michael Bay movies that have points that I actually find kind of genuine, like The Rock, for instance, right? The Rock is maybe not the best movie, but it actually has points and, like, something to it. Even some of the Transformers movies, I would think, are kind of okay compared to this piece of shit. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know the point that he was supposed to... I think that's why the joke was not funny. It just didn't have a point. And like any bad joke, it goes on for too long. Maybe if it was shorter, it would have been better.
Yeah.
But it was just too long. Like, I remember watching Curb Your Enthusiasm, and they do a joke about the 99 virgins thing. But the joke lasts for, like, 10 seconds, and it's done. And then they're just like, he's like, why 99? Why 998? And then the person talking to him is like, shut the fuck up. And that was it. Like, that was the end of the joke, and that was fine.
No.
Like, great. But this 5 minutes of this bullshit joke, okay. We can tell you know nothing about this religion, and this is all that you can really play off of it.
It's Always Sunny does the I'm going to fake record a terrorist video in the background here. And they do that, and, you know, it's funny. Like, it's obscene and upsetting, but it's also funny at the same time. Uwe Boll does it here, and it's just obscene and offensive, and that's it. There's no funny added to it.
And I think the reason for it is it goes on too long. Because they do that shtick the entire time with Bin Laden being like this actor almost.
Yeah.
And he is that shtick the entire film. And it's like, okay, we understood the joke in the beginning. Haha, that was, I guess, funny. But move past it. You've hit that joke. He does that again with the fat joke too, like his wife in the beginning. He shows the pictures of his wife, like, on every anniversary, just getting fatter and fatter, and then him being extremely upset at the end. That was like the beginning scene that you see with this character, which is, first of all, a terrible introduction of this character. Secondly, it's just like they use that fat joke throughout the entire film.
Yeah.
And it's just like, all right, that's enough. It could have been funny, but it's not, because you just tried to just hammer it into our heads too much.
So he has the idea she's fat. He's not happy because she's fat and unattractive, but apparently everyone wants to fuck her. She has this like affair with this really like ugly looking mutant trailer park dwelling man. Which I guess makes sense because he's, you know, really ugly, and he'd be desperate to go for this really fat girl. Apparently, everyone, she has sex with a ton of guys, including the antagonist ? Of the film, the cop, who I imagine he's a good looking guy. He could probably get with a better looking woman, but he chooses this fat woman. I'm speaking of course as Uwe Boll writing the film.
So
I'm confused. Is she unfuckable, or does everyone want to fuck her? Like, what is she? Like, so, I'm just very confused.
I feel like the joke was supposed to be that it is shocking that so many people want to fuck this unfuckable person, right? I think that's what his joke was. Was like, she's not only this giant, fat, gross thing, and you don't want to have sex with her anyway. She's a whore as well. So this guy is just like, his life is real shitty because his wife isn't even faithful to him.
She is supposed to be as morally and personality-wise as repugnant as she is, quote, physically, quote, unquote. Right. Like, she's supposed to mirror those two things. But what it turns out to be is that it's the flip. It's the exact opposite. Like, what you're implying, Doug, is, like, the only thing that we see about her initially, because there's this, like, progression of pictures over time, that she gets progressively heavier, and then...
And she gets progressively less realistically photoshopped.
Yeah, and then... Right. Yeah. And then she also apparently becomes more and more, like, disgusting inside as well. So what Uwe Boll like is doing there is saying, as you know, fat people are gross and they're also morally repugnant. Like, that's what he's saying there by having that series of pictures. At least that's what it feels like to the audience. As a viewer, that's what I'm seeing. So it's fucking gross.
That's true. I think he does that in many ways. He does that also with the guy who has Down syndrome, who's like one of the Islamic guys.
Yeah.
the Muslims, he has Down syndrome, and they revisit that joke like a zillion times throughout the film. And it just, he's just like using that as a way to shit on that religion even more throughout, like how they chose him to kill himself throughout the entire thing. It was awful. I can't believe that I guess it could have been funny, but it's just not funny because of the way that they did it. I don't understand why they chose to show this person with Down syndrome so many times. It just, I don't know.
We have the word retarded used too many times in this film.
A lot. Yeah. And like, by the time when this movie came out, it was already considered taboo to use this in media. So this is intentional.
Oh, yeah. And I think what Uwe Boll thought was just like, if you're so over the top, that makes it funny. But that's not true. There's a
to
way...
somebody who's like 12 years old, maybe, but not to like the majority of movie going people. Like
Uwe Boll is 12.
I totally.
He's got the mind of a 12-year-old. Just these jokes. Within like 5 minutes of the movie, the main character, Scott Farkas, steps in dog shit.
Yeah,
that this is the actor who played Scott Farkas. Yeah, he's making his second appearance on this podcast. He was in Resident Evil Apocalypse, I think. Right?
Oh, yeah, he was. At some point, I don't even know what's happening in this movie, to be honest. Most of the time, it's just like a bunch of... I think it's just a collection of scenes. There's really no story that's happening. But apparently, he gets fed up with his job. He hates his life, whatever. So he gets in with this cultist guy whose name is Uncle something. I don't remember what the fuck his name was.
Played by Dave Foley.
Uncle Dave. Name was Uncle Dave, yeah. You know how you know
that? He's like, you're my uncle and all. Like, just the most obvious, like, exposition.
Oh, right, yeah.
There. Like, most unnatural conversation.
Yeah, it was bonkers. So, I don't understand why a lot of these actors in this movie... were in the movie. I was very upset to see J.K. Simmons in this movie because I'm just like, this movie is so bad. And the character he plays, so fucking bad.
Yeah, he's like this Alex Jones-esque conspiracy theorist before Alex Jones was a thing.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Alex Jones watched this movie, saw that character, and was like, I'm just going to take that persona. Because
I'm taking that.
Because
you ever see the movie Postal?
I'm gonna be the fuck you party. But no, this is the first time I've heard. Maybe sheep was used a lot, but I hadn't heard the word sheep until very recently in years, like maybe a few years ago, with Donald Trump running for president. But this predates that. It's 2007, and he says, don't be sheep. He says it at some point. And I'm just like, oh my God, this is the origin of sheep.
I mean, it's been used in politics for before that, but I still can't believe that he is in this movie, because not only was he, this actually is after all like three huge movies. Like, he was in Cider House Rules, he was in The Mexican, he was in Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3, Lady Killers, Thank You for Smoking, Hidalgo. It's not like Astronaut Farmer, which is a terrible movie in my opinion, but he was still in it. This is all of these really good movies, and like, by this point he's not a household name, but he's like kind of known. You see his face and you're like, that's J. Jonah Jameson. You know who the fuck he is. And then he takes
that's the farmer's insurance guy.
I don't know if he's farmer's insurance yet, but probably. I mean, I don't know. So then he goes and he does Postal. And do you know what the movies are after he does Postal? It's as if when he did Postal, everybody just kind of like magically forgot about it. Juno, Burn After Reading, The Vicious Kind, I Love You, Man. Like, up in
Whiplash.
The air. Yeah, up in the air. That's within the, like, 2 years after this movie. So
Whiplash is probably his most, one of his most prominent roles.
Yeah.
but he was really good in that. But yeah, I'm surprised, like, he came to, he must know Uwe Boll, and Uwe Boll must just know so many people in the industry that he's just like, he can get these big name actors in his shit-tacular movie. Cause look at Blood Rain. Didn't it have it's the guy who played Gandhi.
Yeah, he's in it. Yep.
Yeah, and I'm like, how did they get this guy? They get Meatloaf in there? but I guess Meatloaf will do anything for love, so.
Yeah, but Ben Kingsley was also in The Love Guru, so.
That's true.
Like, I don't know what was
up. I don't know what's going on with Ben Kingsley. Wins an Oscar and then just.
Most of the big names in this movie, like Dave Foley and J.K. Simmons, they came to the casting call even though their agents did not want them to.
Yeah.
Because they know that Uwe Boll makes really shitty movies. And for some reason, they wanted to be in this piece of shit. I don't know why. Maybe Uwe Boll had a gun to their head or a boxing glove. I don't know.
They like Uwe Boll. Maybe he's a nice guy.
Yeah, he's. There's no way.
No, probably not.
He challenges his critics to boxing matches. Like, what a fucking
guy. He was in that. In this movie, he did, like, a boxing thing, didn't he? I feel like there was someone punched him or something.
He gets shot in the dick. I remember that.
That whole scene, I was just like, I'm just so uninterested in this movie. I can barely watch this fucking scene. With, what's his name? Vern Troyer?
Yeah.
Oh, makes this movie even better. Vern Troyer. Let's laugh at the little person. He's little. Isn't that funny? He says fuck a lot.
I feel so bad for little people in general, but especially Vern Troyer. Because every single time he takes a role, he's just, the butt of the joke is that he's small, and that's it.
And Vern Troyer is supposed to be, like, the equivalent. So in the game, Gary Coleman is in the actual game, and Vern Troyer is supposed to take his place in the movie. But it's just like, I don't know, maybe I'm not brain dead enough to really love the game in that way, but I watched part of Postal 2, the game, where Gary Coleman is in it, and it wasn't funny then. It was just dumb. Like, the protagonist, like, insults him multiple times and, like, confuses what he's in movie-wise, and it's just, oh, God, it's so dumb. It's the same thing here.
He's a punchline because he's a washed-up little person actor that no one cares about
anymore. Yeah, it's just dumb.
You must have watched the same video I did, because, yeah, that's what I saw, too. He, like, was like, I loved you in The Facts of Life.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's just like, yeah, you weren't in The Facts of Life. Is that supposed to be funny? What's going on? But, yeah, there was that whole scene. And then the other thing, Uwe Boll, he just must love, like you've said multiple times, Doug, like, these 14-year-old jokes. Jokes that just really kill in that crowd. But after that, it's just not great. Like, he has poop jokes throughout this entire movie.
Yeah.
One of them was like, okay, we're going to first of all show this guy having sex with multiple women, and then we're going to show the guy's dick, and then he sits down and he's taking a shit, and the guy's like, oh my god, whoa, it's so smelly. And I'm like, seriously? What the fuck am I watching?
It's so dumb.
This is just, like, is this supposed to be funny? There's a time and a place for poop jokes, but it was not here.
Not now. I was just going to say, definitely not right then.
No, not in that moment. It was just not good. And then, I don't know how much more just stupid you can get with your jokes. At one point, Uwe Boll's trying to be a cartoon, but just a really bad cartoon at times. There's that moment where Uncle Dave is going to get killed by the bigger guy. I forget his name, Rick or something. Rick's like, okay, I'm going to kiss you. So he kisses him. And then at the end, Uncle Dave goes, oh, I'm gay. I didn't realize all this time I'm gay. Blah, 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 blah. And all this thing. And he's like, and I'm a chubby chaser. Oh, geez. And I'm just like, what is this fucking stupid ass joke?
Because he's gay. That's the punchline. He's gay. Being gay is funny because it's weird.
And apparently being a chubby chaser. Yeah, it was so funny. And
oh, it's so dumb.
And then he gets shot. And then he touches a girl's breast. And he goes, oh, I guess I'm bi. And then he dies. It's just like, that was supposed to be funny. I don't understand it. And how didn't, he's had sex with all these women. How didn't he already know that he was interested in women until he touched a woman's breast at the end? Then he really realized?
I don't think Uwe Boll's ever met a gay person.
I'm not even... So let me just say this. I'm not even kind of surprised that this came up in this movie, because there is a lot of... I don't know how to put it, but there's a lot of gay panic in Uwe Boll movies. Like, there's a lot of, like, I'm afraid of gay people, so I'm going to, like, make a joke about stuff here. And that's exactly what's happening in this movie. Like, there are multiple times where a character has to be over-masculine in order to cover up something that, like, seems a little bit feminine that Uwe Boll doesn't want to, like, actually talk about here. So it doesn't... It's not surprising this comes up. However, what is surprising is how stupidly it's handled all the time. Like, it's just so dumb. Exactly what you're saying, Kevin. Like, I touched a boob. Oh, I kissed a guy. Like, what the fuck? Like, so, just come on.
You know what this reminds me of is, I think this is on Reddit, the right camp meme. That's what it is. It's just like the right.
Yeah.
He's you can tell he's like super conservative, because when you're telling these like specific types of jokes, it's just like the shock factor that this guy's gay and that he's a chubby chaser, and you must live within the lines of what a regular person finds attractive and all this, and that's what's funny. Is just that's like this whole movie is like a conservative dream, not to make this super political, but I feel like this film in general was super political. Even had the conspiracy theorists in there too, where Bush was the one who was coordinating everything with Bin Laden. And even though Bush is a Republican, that actually is a very big thing within conservative groups.
Yeah.
Is that, it was all a plan. Or whatever. So it's just like, how many stupid conservative tropes are you going to do in this entire movie? And it's just throughout the entire movie. And
all
that
the time.
Maybe that's why I don't think this movie is funny, because I don't find those types of jokes very funny in general.
Can I just mention one thing that I hated about this time period? It went on for like 7 or 8 years during the whole Bush administration, the George W. Bush's dumb jokes.
Yeah.
Oh, there's just, they were in everything. They were in this movie. They're just so not funny. We get it. He was not a good talker for presidential standards. He was not a very good public speaker, but it's like,
yeah, it's the equivalent of the Donald Trump is orange joke, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or he has small hands.
It's the same exact joke. It's just like, that is the lowest hanging fruit. Sure. Go for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's just like what I had mentioned before. It's where a joke goes too long. It could have been funny at first, talking about how he was a dumb talker and all that. But yeah, you're right. They just slam it so hard all the time, to the point where it's just like, it's not even funny anymore. I feel like that happens a lot with presidents in general, unfortunately.
Yeah, you caricature that stuff. It's just... I don't know. This whole movie is just upsetting. So upsettingly bad. Anyway, let's get through it.
Are we through it yet?
No. I mean, we're not even like halfway through.
So, okay. So they did the whole scene where apparently the other funny thing is to punch children and kill children. I don't know. I guess that's a funny joke.
Are you offended yet? I think that's what Uwe Boll's asking. Was I offended yet?
Yeah, I
got to do Nazi jokes, Holocaust jokes, Twin Towers jokes, now shoot the children.
I just don't understand what is so funny about punching a child.
Shooting them. He shoots them.
Or shooting them. I guess if you were extremely tactful with your joke, maybe in some world that could have been funny. But... in the way that it was shown, it's just like someone blowing away children. What is funny about that? I just don't understand. I was boggled by that whole scene. Like, as I was watching it, I'm like, I don't know how I'm watching this. And I am so glad that this is free on YouTube. Because if I had to pay any money for this piece of shit... I would be upset.
My question is, we see a pile of the dead kids who were shot. And my question is, who allowed their child to be in this movie?
Money grubbers.
Bad parents.
Yeah. People don't care as long as they get paid.
It's like people only do things because they get paid. And that's just really sad.
Sometimes. Then at some point, they take Vern Troyer and they shove him in a small suitcase because he's small.
And he says, I'm pretty sure he says, I'm in my suitcase.
Yeah.
Did you hear that? He just like tells the audience what he's doing, even though it's clearly on screen. And there's a glowing dildo in there for some reason, because dildo, it's funny.
And of course, like anything sexual with a little person, it's apparently funny.
Yeah.
So they're just like, oh, wow, isn't it so crazy that a little person could have sex? Here's all these sex toys. And it's just like, what's so funny about that?
Uncle Dave's like harem is like, they're all like fawning over him, holding him like a baby. It's like, you get it? He's a little person. He's never going to have sex with a woman this attractive. Laugh.
And then later, they have him thrown into like some cell with a zillion monkeys or something. And the monkeys just like rape him, technically.
Yeah. Because rape is funny.
And I'm like, what is funny about this? Where did someone get this idea? First of all, yes, it's over the top. So I guess maybe somebody thought that is funny. But like, where would you come up with an idea that monkeys having sex with a little person is actually funny? I just don't understand. Or any person. What is that?
Just think back to like I said, think back to like, fifth or sixth grade, and this kid like, it would be really funny if Mini-Me had sex with a chimp.
Let's do that 99 times.
Well, boy, like, it's like, I like that idea. I'm gonna put that in my head.
And just make it so overblown.
And it's like, oh, it's supposed to be offensive. It's supposed to be, like, upsetting. But honestly, it's just stupid. Like, it doesn't even, to me, it doesn't even, like, at that point in that movie, I'm like, this is just dumb. I'm not even... There's not a point where I'm feeling super offended anymore. I'm just feeling more just like bored.
Yeah, the other over the top and very repeated joke throughout the entire thing was the Muslims sacrificing themselves.
Yeah.
And blowing up. Like, how many times did they have to do that? And then maybe he thought it would be hilarious if at the end it actually didn't happen because they had the Down syndrome guy attempt to do it. That was just so stupid. I don't understand it. I just can't believe how awful this movie was and how it got better reviews than Alone in the Dark. Like, Alone in the Dark was a shit fest. Don't get me wrong. It was not a good movie. But the fact that this movie got higher percentages on Rotten Tomatoes than that movie is just like, who is reviewing this fucking film and actually was like, I actually like this film.
I don't get it, because I've read reviews, people say like, oh, they just don't get it. It's like, what is there to get? There's nothing clever about this film. It's like, okay, I think this may be one of the worst comedies I've ever seen. It may be the worst movie I've ever seen, but Freddy Got Fingered at one point I consider it to be one of the worst comedies and movies ever made. But at least that, it had the goal of grossing out the audience, which it actually did. There were really gross scenes in Freddy Got Fingered. This movie has gross-out jokes that aren't even gross. They're just lazy. There's a joke where one of the women of the harem, yeah, of Uncle Dave, like, gets shit in her mouth.
Yep. Yeah.
They don't even attempt to make it look like shit. It just looks like chocolate syrup or, like, chocolate pudding.
Yeah, so I'm curious now that you're mentioning all these terrible facts in this movie. How much did it cost to make this movie, and how much did this movie make? Usually we talk about that, so I'm curious.
$15 million.
This movie made $15 million.
And oh no, the budget was $15 million. Do you want to know how much it made? A little over 146,000.
Oh, 146,000.
Okay. Thousand.
I thought you were gonna say 146 million.
Thousand.
Okay, so it was a huge flop.
Yeah, I mean, okay, you want your faith in humanity like completely destroyed? Just go into the YouTube comments for the Postal movie. Here's a great one. People that hate on this movie don't understand that what the Postal games are about. Once you understand that, you realize that this movie captures the essence of the games near perfectly. I don't see why people dislike this film. Uwe Boll even joked about himself in the movie, and I can respect the well-written self-insert there. This is probably his best adaptation. This is not a bad movie. This is honestly the best video game movie I have ever seen. I don't understand why the fans hate this film. I laughed a lot and never got offended. It deserves a 10 out of 10. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Is their profile picture an anime character or a My Little Pony?
Yeah, exactly.
A brony. No, the only thing I may agree with is that it is his best adaptation because the game was so dumb. Fucking shitty.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. It's probably his best video game adaptation because he adapted a game that it was just as batshit crazy as he was. So,
well, and I watched Postal 2 for probably like way too long, 15 minutes or so.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, pretty close to spot on. Stupid fucking game. I mean, I think he went above and beyond the game, which
he went below and behind.
Yeah, below and behind.
With just being a human being.
Well, the fact that he chose this movie to make just is kind of speaks to his character in general. Like, I can't say I was offended by anything. I wasn't offended by anything in this movie. But I just didn't find any of the offensive stuff funny. And all of the stuff that was done in this movie was either done better by other comedians. Like, It's Always Sunny. It did all this offensive stuff. Always Sunny is very good at being offensive and then making it funny at the same time. They're clever at telling jokes. And then same with Seinfeld. Seinfeld does offensive things at times as well. Or Larry David in general. But he does it in a clever way, or tries to be clever.
Those jokes have a purpose. Someone learns a lesson or they suffer.
Well, like, and you realize these people are like really despicable. In this, it's like everybody in the world that's there is just so shitty that it's just not, it doesn't feel like it's purposeful.
Yeah, no one grows in this movie. No one learns a lesson. It's just pointless.
Right. So that's what I have a problem with. And that's why I think his jokes are just not funny, is just because maybe he just... It could be just because he hits hard too often on the same exact things over and over again. It might just be because of that. But at the same time, I even think even if his jokes were shorter, I don't think they would be funny still. There's something about the execution that sucks.
Yeah, I don't necessarily... I think parts of this film are very offensive. But I think all of this film is just extremely insulting. Like, there are just blatant insults to, like, random people. And, like, random groups. But also the audience itself. Like, he is making this movie to piss people off. And at the same time, he's also just being blatantly insulting to, like, every one of his haters. Like, that was the goal of this movie, was to, like, make the most offensive movie of all time. And in the process, what he made was just, like, a constant series of insults to people who have slighted him. That's all he was doing. So, I don't know. I agree. I think a lot of this movie is dumb and not funny. And I think parts of it are very offensive, but I think mostly it's just insulting to watch. It's tough. I sound so prudish, too, while saying that, but I don't think I'm being prudish. I think it sucks. This thing.
No, I just think he can't. There's something. It must be the execution. Because, like I said, I think all of us had enjoyed some Seinfeld.
Right.
And I enjoyed Seinfeld a lot. And. And It's Always Sunny. Enjoyed a lot of It's Always Sunny. And those are, I would say, offensive. But they walk the line. And the execution of the jokes are just well done. It's so hard to explain why comedy is funny in certain situations and not in others. You can't just be offensive and then just say, okay, it's funny. I don't think that works.
Yeah, because in Seinfeld and It's Always Sunny, the people around them, they acknowledge the fact that what the characters are doing is offensive or racist or sexist. And somehow they suffer for it. In this movie, nothing. I actually have the quote right here. When Osama's at a self-help seminar, because that's funny, he didn't have any like U.S. dollars and his assets were frozen because he's Osama bin Laden.
Yeah.
The self-help seminar guy just goes, friggin' Arabs, go back to Mecca and run around your big black box. Like, that's just fucking mean.
Yeah.
Like, and then later on, he's selling books, this self-help guy. A black guy buys his book. And he says, your money is good and you're American, even though you're black.
Right.
Like, what was the point of that? And the black guy, like, they don't show his response to it. It's just a mean comment. You never see this character again. No, nobody acknowledges the fact that what that guy said was really offensive. It just moves on.
I'm glad you wrote those down, because that, to me, tells me why it was not funny.
Yeah, that's the exact thing that I'm talking about. Like, if it was supposed to be, like, just, like, trying to be offensive, I don't know if it would have that much intention behind it. Like, he was intentionally trying to insult people in this movie. It's not like a satire or a critique. It's just like, I'm meant to piss people off in this movie. That's what I'm trying to do. It's stupid.
Right. Take It's Always Sunny. They've said stuff like sort of similar to that, but not to that. I think the problem with Uwe Boll's stuff is just, it's so on the nose. It's too on the nose. To say that, like you said, Doug, it's just mean.
Yeah.
There's no... It's just like some asshole was saying that, and you'd be like, what the... If you heard that in real life, you'd be like, what the fuck? But when you hear it and It's Always Sunny, one of the funny parts of that is that they almost don't even realize that they're being assholes.
But everyone else around them knows that they're pieces of shit, which adds to the comedy of the show.
Right.
Same thing with Seinfeld.
Right, which is, that is why it's funny. It's because they're almost clueless, and they're not really trying to be offensive. Now, with these jokes in this movie, these people are actually trying to be mean and trying to be offensive. And like you were saying, because no one around them recognizes it, because you don't see the reaction of the black guy there or anything like that, it's not funny. And that's probably why.
Like, if the black guy just went like, what the hell's wrong with you, dude? Like, it wouldn't have been like hilarious, but like, just have him say something. I don't even think he has any kind of expression or anything.
Right. Like he could have made a funny face or something.
Yeah, I'm gonna use an example. I'm gonna go back to Blazing Saddles. There's a funny moment in that movie where Bart, when he's just appointed sheriff, he goes up to an old lady. He goes, isn't it a lovely morning? And then she says, up yours, N-word. Now, why that scene is funny is because of Cleavon Little's smile. He has this really awkward, uncomfortable smile after she says that line. And his attitude is what makes those jokes funny. He's like, he's trying to keep cool even though this town is just hurling racial slurs at him. But then later on in the movie, the old lady apologizes to Bart and bakes him a pie. So it's like, you could see these people, you know, learning their lessons. Like, Bart's not a bad guy. He saved Rockridge from Mongo. You have some other jokes. The old lady's like, don't tell anyone I was here. Which is funny because it just shows you the attitudes of people back then. Like, she apologized to Bart, but she also doesn't want the other people to know that she talked to a black guy and apologized to him.
You hit the nail on the head, Doug. I think it is the reaction. I think that's what's missing in this whole film, is other people's reactions. Like, for instance, Seinfeld did an episode where George and Jerry were seen as being gay together, right? And they would say, like, they would show that they were uncomfortable with it, right? Okay, that's understandable. But then they would be like, not that there's anything wrong with it, sort of thing. They kept doing that, which made it more funny, because it was that there was a reaction there. And there was a reaction to how despicable the nature was. But the problem with this whole film, and just like you were saying with Blazing Saddles, you always saw a reaction from one of the actors.
Yeah. It's the same thing, the famous, like, in It's Always Sunny, it's the famous, like, because of the implication scene. Like, that scene doesn't work unless Mac plays the straight man. It's like, are you talking that you're gonna like harm these women on the boat? No, it's just because of the implication. Okay, here. Like, Mac has to play the straight man in order for like our moral compass to be recognized, right? Otherwise, it's just a wildly immoral and depraved Dennis just running amok. You need somebody else to like be the magnetic north in that scene. And in this movie, there is no magnetic north. So it's just wild. There's no moral compass. Yeah.
Exactly. And Dennis is a good example of that because he is very immoral in a lot of ways.
The whole show.
And without everyone around him being reactionary towards like his weird behavior, it wouldn't, you'd be like, oh my God, this guy is just a serial killer or something.
Yeah, I mean, he literally is going trick-or-treating and hunt and like stalking that person and wants to murder them. And Dee's like, you're not going to actually murder this person, are you? Like, you need that in order to make sure that like the audience is recognized as seeing this as like, this is a horrible human being. And we know that it is.
Right. Yeah. And that's funny. Okay. So that is what makes these things, these despicable things, funny, and why this is just not funny.
Yeah.
It's just despicable.
So we're talking about Seinfeld. Do you know who plays Osama bin Laden in this film?
Yeah, I've seen that actor before.
He's the soup Nazi. No.
Really?
No, that's not.
That's the soup Nazi, yeah. That's
soup Nazi.
Oh my God, that sucks.
That's him.
No. No.
Let me look it up real quick. I'm pretty sure that's the soup Nazi.
No.
He's right. It is that is
Larry Thomas.
It's Larry Thomas, and he plays that character. I'd never seen him without a mustache.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that.
Yeah, that's definitely him. Now that I'm seeing him without a mustache.
Oh, so I want to talk about another mean joke. We're probably gonna talk about a bunch of mean jokes. I'm gonna bring this back up to that middle school lunchroom table. You know that joke, oh, your mom is so fat, you have to rub her in flour to find the wet spot? They use that in this film. They use that joke.
When do they use that? I didn't hear it.
When the trailer park guy, he's in Scott Farkas' trailer. Right. And it's implied that he just fucked his wife. And he's walking around with an erection through his underwear because that's funny.
Yeah.
And then he grabs flour from the cab. He's like, gotta find the wet spot.
Oh, that's right. He did do that.
Such an old-fashioned joke, and like I never wanted to see it on screen. No one asked to see that on screen.
It's very stupid. Tell us all the other mean ones.
Yeah, come on, give us the rest.
Oh, okay. Well, Scott Farkas climbs over a fat guy in a scooter to break into a mail truck. We have to talk about the crotchety dolls, I'll talk about this scene first. There's like this joke about this guy in a scooter who's clearly mentally disabled. So there's another joke of mentally disabled people. There's tons of that in this movie. And I think it's implied that the crazy cop who I don't think we talked about him yet either. The psychopath cop.
Oh my God. Is
maybe the villain of the film. I don't know. But apparently he ran him over or something like that, where he became mentally disabled or something like that. Like this cop is the cause of this man being confined to a wheelchair. I forget what he says. It was, I don't know. He gets shot at some point.
Yeah.
During that whole shootout scene.
I don't understand why the one black guy in the film, he's the one guy in the film. I feel like Uwe Boll is trying to make a point, because I think Uwe Boll is kind of, I think he's racist. Mm-hmm. So I think he's just showing like this black cop is just very, very terrible. Like he's like just a completely terrible person. He's an extremely racist cop. He's racist towards the other cop, who he says something about him not speaking the right language or something.
What was the point of that cop?
Yeah, I have no idea.
The other cop?
He only had like three lines, which I could barely understand. I don't know if this actor spoke English.
No, that's what the guy, the black guy says. He's just like, you got to speak English better or something like
it's
that.
It's so dumb. Because
that's like, what's the point?
Yeah. And then there was that really awful scene, which really shows you like sort of how bad a racist that Uwe Boll actually probably is with the Chinese woman, where she's like trying to say something and he's like, you're not even speaking English, and then he just shoots her.
Yeah,
it's just like, why? What was the point of that? Like, that doesn't even capture the essence of Postal. it's just, like you said many times, mean.
Yeah, and there's also the visual for all the racist people watching the movie. There's an Asian woman who drives poorly. Isn't that funny? It's a stereotype. Laugh. Yeah.
She drives poorly. You can't understand a word you said. And can't you relate to not understanding someone when they talk and you get so pissed off that you want to shoot them? What is that what you're supposed to relate to? You're supposed to be like, oh, I can't understand this. I just want to shoot them. Oh, that's so funny that he shot them because that's actually how I feel. No, that's so stupid. I guess the concept of the shitty postal game is that throughout life, you sit here in these terrible situations, like waiting in a long line, and you just want to like explode and go crazy on people. I think Uwe Boll was trying to capture that in his movie, but he just ranted about how he was annoyed with other races, people who didn't speak the same language, other religions, and how he can't stand those, and that's what people go postal over. Can't stand fat people. They go postal over that. It's just like, I don't know what the message was that he was trying to say. Now that I'm thinking about it, I don't even think he captured the essence of what postal was actually capturing, even though it was a shitty game. Like, sitting in line waiting while someone counts one penny at a time in front of you. Yeah, I could see where you get really pissed off, but that's an innocent thing that you're pissed off about. You're like, what the fuck is this person counting pennies for? You're really pissed off. But someone speaking to you in broken English and you getting really pissed off, that's just because you're a fucking asshole.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. The point of the game was to really, like, push your buttons to the point where, like, you actually, like, explode and, like, can't take it anymore. It's not to, like, take every little insult as a means to, like, go and destroy things. I don't know.
Right. There were some things that I think Uwe Boll captured about the game pretty well.
Sure.
Like the DMV, obviously. That situation was something that you would see in the game where you're just waiting and you're like, what the fuck do I have to fill out all these stupid forms for? And then you just go crazy because of it. That's what they captured in that.
Correct.
But then there were just other things where it just was like so hyper-political, and it's just like you clearly are getting pissed off at the wrong things.
I think this film launched the January 6th riot.
Well, I think anyone who liked the film probably launched.
It's like all their favorite movie. It's every person who was involved. That's their favorite movie is Postal from 2007.
Well, that was the first thing I wrote was like this movie is a hyper-conservative's dream. They would just love this movie.
I actually looked it up. I looked up Uwe Boll Trump, and I did not see anything. I thought I would find at least something. Nothing.
Is Uwe Boll even alive?
Yeah.
He looked pretty old.
I think, I want to say he's like
in his 70s.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought he was like 70 in this movie.
Nobody knows how he's still alive after all of these, like...
I kind of wish he wasn't.
Exactly, I was just going to say...
Oh, so I have to talk. So we have to talk about the crotchy dolls. That's like a main plot of this movie. They're trying. There's like a heist involved with crotchy dolls. So a crotchy doll, it's shaped like a dick, and you pull their string, and I think it says like, "Only my father and priest can touch me there because molestation is funny." And there are other times when they make this doll talk, and you can't even hear a fucking word it says. It's like, can you, like, the audio is terrible. You can't just, like, change the audio a bit so we can hear what the hell the doll is saying. I mean, we know it's not going to be funny, but...
I don't understand. I had that joke. I think maybe Weeble's jokes are just so simple sometimes. I can't even understand why they would ever be funny. I understand why someone would think his other stupid, terrible jokes are funny. Like you said, the 14-year-old. But even this joke, I don't know... why it was supposed to be funny.
And then there's also a joke, we have like this recurring joke with these two old men talking about
seniors. Oh, yeah.
And I guess because old men talking about gross things is funny, because they should be talking about, you know, the stock market or chess or, you know, the last episode of Matlock, but no, they're talking about dirty stuff like semen, tits. It's funny.
It's just so, yeah. We're litigating the same points over and over again. It's just, it makes no sense. And also, it's just insulting rather than obscene. It's obscene too, but it's just dumb.
I don't know. I wish that this could have been an okay movie, but it was just so bad. I would say this is the worst movie.
Oh, 100%.
Oh yeah. This is maybe the worst movie I've seen in my life.
I would agree with you, Doug. Yeah.
I would agree.
Like, I think this is worse than Freddy Got Fingered.
Oh yeah.
I think this might be probably the worst movie I've ever seen, hands down.
What is the worst? Okay, before seeing this one, Kevin and Paul, what is the worst movie you've ever seen in your entire life?
Yeah, I don't even know. I mean, honestly,
I try to forget about movies that I really
well. Hate. When I first think of like the worst movies ever, the one that always pops to my mind right at the beginning is that Dana Carvey movie, Master of Disguise. That was fucking trash. That might be like...
Oh, you know...
Turtle.
That might be... Turtle. That might be one of the worst things that I've ever seen in my entire life.
I think Cat in the Hat, the live action...
Oh, God.
Oh, it's God. One of the worst movies, if not... Well, after this movie...
Oh, yeah.
The worst movie I've ever seen. That movie is so... I don't... That's another movie I'm just like... Is this supposed to be funny? Even for a kid, like, I would assume that movie was terrifying and not funny.
There are two jokes I remember from The Cat in the Hat. One joke where they have like a farm in their backyard and he picks up a hoe, and Mike Myers in this children's movie goes, "You're a dirty hoe."
Yes.
Dirty hoe?
Yeah, there were so many adult-esque jokes in that film that... But they were just so, like, if you watch an old cartoon, you would see hidden adult jokes every so often, right? Yeah. But these were just so blatant and in your face.
Yeah.
That it's like, they're not even trying to hide it. It's not clever.
Yeah.
I sometimes like watching the old cartoons and being like, oh, wow, that is actually, that's an adult joke that I never would have gotten as a kid. But when... I was a kid and watched Cat in the Hat, I was just like, I knew it was a dirty joke just because it was just so upfront and in your face.
Yeah.
Like, dirty hoe, what else could it be?
Yeah. And there's like a boner joke too. His hat like gets an erection when he looks at the picture of the kid's mom.
For instance, Animaniacs had a lot of adult jokes in it. And one of them was like this joke about Prince at some point.
Oh, yeah.
And that... is a joke that, even though it's almost on the nose, as a kid, you never would have known it.
No, and it's a super clever joke. Like,
right.
That was I love the fingerprints joke.
Yeah.
I found Prince! No, fingerprints. I don't think so.
And you know it's a dirty joke because they have like this really creepy look on Prince's face. Yeah. They knew what they were doing.
Exactly. And that's perfect. Subtle adult humor, but in The Cat in the Hat, no subtle humor there. So yeah, that to me was the worst movie I'd ever seen, and maybe there was one redeemable item in that entire movie, and that's what makes that movie slightly better than this one, because there is literally nothing redeemable about this particular movie.
No, not at all. Is there? Do you think there's some like weird fetish with attractive women being dressed as Nazis? I think Uwe Boll has a fetish with that because we have the women from the harem, they're dressed as Nazis, but it's like filmed in a way where it's like a fetish that people have.
I don't know if it's a fetish or if it's just like him trying to be blatantly like insulting again or offensive, and it's just comes out as weirdly sexual at times. Yeah.
I think he's just like, while he's watching this scene, he's probably just stroking his Uwe balls in the back, just like with these women dressed as Nazis. Like,
we've had some good Uwe jokes like, in the past, honestly. Like the Uwe boat.
Which episode was that?
I think that was House of the Dead.
Yeah, that was.
Uwe balls is pretty good, yeah.
I'm so mad about this movie because the other Uwe Boll movies that we talked about, we could at least it was more fun to talk about those movies because we could like pick on them a little bit. But this movie is almost impossible to pick on because it's so shitty. Like there's,
yeah,
and because it's so mean that we literally have to just talk about how shitty and mean the movie is. We can't be funny with it like we were with the other ones. The other ones were more cheesy and shitty in that way, and this was just so over the top political that it makes it so it's hard to joke about. I'm very glad that we're done and over with it, though.
Oh my god, me too.
I never want to watch this movie again.
What's our next movie that we're going to be talking about? Unless you have more about Postal.
Let me see if there's anything else I want to talk about.
Please no, Doug. Please no.
So I have, let me see my notes. I wrote a line of all the offensive jokes. Scott Farkas runs over a woman from the welfare office who told them they're closed. We have Vern Troyer smoking and saying fuck a lot because he's a little person that has a funny voice. Oh, the whoop transitions. There's like a lot of the whoop transitions you see on like Scrubs and like Malcolm in the Middle.
That, oh my god. Yeah. It's funny that you brought that up. They, all the transitions in this scene, in this movie, and also all like the cuts. There's like a lot of these like cuts to the face of Scott Farkas, like as he's doing something. That are meant to be, like, funny, but just make me want to punch the screen. Like, Scott Farkas' stupid face staring at the camera.
You want to punch him like Ralphie.
Oh, my God. Ugh.
You fucking over them nuts! All right, so let's see. Scott shoots a terrorist through a cat's anus.
So
hole comes out of the cat's mouth.
So, I do want to mention that I'm pretty sure that was in Postal, the game. So, I think that's the reason why they put that in there. So that one at least had a tie to the source material.
It's such a shitty movie, like just adapting such a shitty game. It's like insane clown posse covering a Limp Bizkit song.
Yes.
What else? What other jokes? Oh, there's a joke about the avian bird flu, if you want to know what year it is.
Yeah, real. That nails it right in a time.
I think that's another contributing factor about why this is just so not funny, is because this is also very stuck in its time.
Especially with the Bush jokes.
Right. I don't think it would be funny back then for me either, but it makes it even harder to be funny because it's so stuck in that specific time.
Okay. There was a joke where, so Scott Farkas and the harem, the bimbo stereotype women start shooting each other, and one of them says, "You're not retarded, are you?" Because I guess we were supposed to think that one of them was mentally challenged.
I thought I missed something.
Yeah, I thought I missed that too. So I'm like, is she? Like, is there any hint that this character was mentally challenged? Because I don't remember it. These women had no personalities whatsoever. They're all the same person. So
I'm glad that you mentioned that one because I thought I... Because at times I just was like, I don't want to watch this movie right now. So I just walked away from it for a second, but then I came back and watched it again, and I thought I missed that part.
That's, yeah,
like I was like,
it's probably a deleted scene.
I was like, where was she acting stupid? I don't even remember this. They're all just nameless hot women, that's it.
Yeah, let's see, more offensive joke. Oh, a baby in a stroller appears on the screen. I wrote that it comes out to Largo Al Factotum, the song that plays in the Pudgy the Parakeet cartoon in the intro to Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh.
When a baby gets run over and dies. You laughing?
No, not that. I just watched Mrs. Doubtfire not too long ago, and to even have it referenced in this is just insulting in this grand scheme of this movie and this review. Anyway, continue.
That scene was awful altogether. Wasn't it the one where the lady's walking the baby and then she just throws the baby into the car and she runs away? And I guess it's supposed to be funny because the mom really didn't give a shit about her kid, so she just threw the baby in there.
Oh, there's like a massive shootout at the end. The Scott Farkas character gives a speech. It's like supposed to be like this moving speech that goes nowhere because everyone just ends up shooting each other anyway. And then all the people say we all hate Jews because that's funny, I guess.
That's why I think it was Uwe Boll's political points coming out. I don't know why that was supposed to be funny.
I don't know if you saw in the background, but Kanye West was... I don't know if you saw him hanging out when that line was delivered. If you want to date this episode.
Oh my god. Was he actually there? Or you tell? I thought you were joking. So I was like,
now it's November of 2022. If you're listening, and in the news, Kanye is saying some very anti-Semitic things on Twitter. So yeah, the movie ends with George Bush somehow pissing off China, and they send atomic warheads. Scott Farkas blows up his fat wife, and her organs fall all over the place because she's fat. And Osama bin Laden and George Bush skip through a field as the world blows up. And we cut to the credits. Thank God that movie is over.
I have never, ever in my entire life wanted to end a movie within 3 minutes like I have this movie. When I turned it on and immediately saw it was that Scott Farkas-looking face, and then just saw the series of like dumb progression scenes that were happening, I was like, this movie sucks. Immediately when the 9/11 scene happened, I was like, oh, it's going to be a movie like this. And then the Scott Farkas really put the cherry on top of it, and I just really wanted to turn this off. So,
yeah, it was not a good movie. Would not recommend. If anyone's listening to this and didn't watch the movie, which I hope they didn't, don't watch it. Because you shouldn't.
Don't.
No.
Yep. It just sucks.
Yeah.
Unless you're into that sort of jokes, I mean, if you're kind of that weird person, fine, I guess.
You're probably an incel.
Probably.
Now, I'm looking up the next film.
It's Hitman.
Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah, Timothy Oliphant is in it. Fun thing, Luc Besson produced this, and you'll know him from Fifth Element.
Who's the director?
Xavier Gens. I don't know who that man is.
Oh, so it's not Uwe Boll. Okay, good.
We have a break from Uwe Boll for a while. Was it in the Name of the King? Is that the next one we're doing with him?
I think that's his last one.
It can't be any worse than this.
No.
Nothing can be worse than this movie. So that does it for this episode of Reset Rewind. Postal. It sucked. You can follow us on Instagram. We also have an email at resetandrewindpodcast@gmail.com. If you'd like to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to us, please do so. Anything else you guys have to say?
Sorry about this episode, and I'm glad it's over.
Yeah. Well, right now, it's getting late, I'm tired, and I'm feeling a little lazy, just like Uwe Boll, so let's just end it with a shit joke.
Yo, motherfuckers, hope you all enjoyed the fucking episode. I'm about to peace the fuck out. I'm gonna go smoke some fucking weed, fuck some hot ladies, and some other shit you wouldn't expect someone my size to do. First, I gotta take a shit.
Now that is good comedy right there.
Dirty hoe!